This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we're awaiting to hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, as he speaks to the media for the first time today. We will also carry the coach's show a little bit later on at 5 o'clock. The coach's show with DeMeco Ryans, he will be taking over after we get done. So we'll get a lot of DeMeco today in this post-loss to the Titans. And Clint, I really don't know what the sound's going to be like today, to be honest with you. You clearly see he was annoyed yesterday, and you would I think we may potentially get the closest to annoyed in short that maybe you've been kind of surprised that you haven't seen yet.
Look, I don't. I'm looking more towards, for me personally, like I care more about the Wednesday, Thursday audio than I do right. I fully expect him right now to be in a bad spot. I can't help but, and I didn't even hear the audio this morning. I just saw the caption of Kyle Shanahan saying, "Well, that's how you get embarrassed." You know, talking about his team getting embarrassed by the Green Bay Packers. That's what I expect DeMeco at some point. At some point, DeMeco has to say, "Hey, man, this is embarrassing." This just ain't it. This ain't Texans football. This isn't the standard. This isn't what we work for. And damn it, we got to get this better because we're running out of time. You know that. Like at some point, that has to be the message from DeMeco. I fully expect him to be. He was in a bad spot. I think he took the podium last night as a defensive coordinator instead of a head coach. To be honest with you, with some of the things that he said, which we'll cover, I think at some point today. But being the head coach today and having looked over all the film, there's no way DeMeco Ryans gets up there today and says, "I think my offense did enough." You know, offense did enough to win. Now, you may think the points on the scoreboard were enough to beat that football team, which I agree with. But overall, you can't be happy or even shape your mouth to say anybody did enough, right, to win that game. That was. So we'll see what he says. I expect it to be like you said, the tone that maybe I've been waiting on. I expect it to be closer to that than
it. It looks like, boys, that DeMeco is ready to go.
All right, let's hear from the head coach.
Well, just all across the board, we got to be better. You know, expect them to make that kick. Unfortunately, it didn't go through.
Seemed like a lot of things were going wrong, not just one particular area. You mentioned putting a lot of it on you. What changes do you feel like needed to be made this week to ensure that those things don't continue to spiral?
Yeah, for us, we just got to go do it. Like, it's... We got a lot of cleaning up to do once we go through the film and our guys understand what we have to do. But we just have to go do it. Like, as I told our guys, we don't need a big meeting and nothing needs to be said or talked about. We just got to go do our job.
His rookie season, coming in to his sophomore season, do you think that there was more added pressure for him to be, you know, I know better than what he was? You always want to see improvement, but do you think that the bar was set entirely too high for him to be able to grow into that?
Yeah, for me, when it comes to the bar being set, who sets the bar for someone? Like, there's no higher bar set for as coaches and players than the bars we set for ourselves. So there's no added or external pressures that raises the bar. We have to live up to some expectation. Our expectation is always for our players, our coaches, to continue to grow and continue to get better. And that doesn't change.
Nico, one of the things that you said, and then the guys all said, they said, you got to be more locked in. What is that? How do you do that?
Yeah, the locked in piece is just, I just look at it as being intensely focused on your job and being where you're supposed to be, you know, executing the minor details of your job. Like, it all comes down to minor, minute details that you get exploited if you don't do them the correct way, and teams find those and they make you pay, right? And a lot of the things, as I talk to our guys about, is things that we can control. And that's where I place our focus, on things that we can't control, clean up the things we can control, and we'll be better.
Confident with these five on the offensive line, or are you open to maybe changing some things along there?
Yeah, our guys did some good job. Did a good job in the protection aspect of giving us time, and we can still clean some things up in the running game.
After the game, you mentioned that you thought the offense gave you enough points to win. After looking at the film, do you still feel that way?
Yeah, overall, as a team, I think we all have things to clean up, right? All three phases. Like, when you look at our tape and look at the game and what happened in that game, right, there are a lot of positive things that we would love to be highlighting today. A lot of big plays being made, explosive plays by our offense, scoring points for us defensively, getting sacks, takeaways, special teams, right? Explosive returns, creating a take. There are a lot of positives that happen with our team. But on the flip side of that, there are also a lot of negatives that negated a lot of the positives that we had. So for us as a team, collectively, we just have to clean up the penalties, clean up the negative plays that are happening. And everybody made enough plays, right? Our team made enough plays to win the game. Just the negative plays kind of overshadowed all of the positive things that we did.
We put the name reports out about Dylan Petrie having sustained a pectoral strain. Do you anticipate him being out for the rest of the season? Like, what's kind of like the thought process?
Yeah, Jalen has a shoulder injury. He'll be out for some time.
How do you put that into perspective for your players? Even for, like, fans who, you know, when they see the negative, I'm sure players go through the same thing. But, like, how do you put that into perspective when you do have good things and you probably want to build off of it, but there are negative things that continue to happen? Like, how do you put that into perspective for them?
Yeah, for me, as I talk to our team, it's no perspective. I just tell it like it exactly is. So it's like, that's what it is. We put out really good stuff, but the negative stuff is just, it continues to hurt us. So there is no hitting agenda or anything. It's just get it cleaned up and get it fixed.
Led to the struggles in the rushing attack yesterday. Jared mentioned after the game there were some things that maybe Tennessee did that were out of character for what they had been playing on defense. What kind of led to some of the issues with the run game?
Yeah, what led to the issues in the run game, we didn't block them well enough, and we didn't finish our blocks. Like, we were on guys and we didn't finish. It was nothing that they did. Like, we just got to finish our blocks, especially when we're on the second level. We have to stay attached. Like, a lot of times we're getting up to the second level, but we're not staying attached on the linebackers or the safeties, and they are shooting a gap and making those plays. That doesn't change in all of football. Like, you work up to the second level, you have to finish, or the guy's going to make a move and make the play. So that's just the mindset for us. We didn't handle the edge as well, or well enough to get the ball on the perimeter as well.
You're listening to Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans live from NRG Stadium.
Titans linebackers were kind of saying, I'm waiting for the cutback zone, the cutback lane that Joe likes to hit a lot. He scored a lot of touchdowns off of that. What challenges does that present when a team is kind of taking away the cutback lane for an offense in the run game?
Well, it's, for me, is that as you look at, you know, the running game, it's, I don't think you per se take it away. If they're taking away, or we want to say they're taking away the cutback, then you continue to press the ball outside. So it's no, like, we just have to, again, be instinctive and play off of what we're seeing, right? Defenders are going to move, right? They're, whether it's falling back or playing too heavy over the top, whatever those second level defenders do, we just have to be instinctive, finish guys, be on the right spot, and then just play off of that.
Coach, that Will and Daniil played on yesterday, they were very destructive as far as getting to the quarterback, making some sacks, making some plays. Who would you compare those two that you may have seen or played against?
I don't. They're two, and they're making a name for themselves. So I don't put them in any other category. Some of the things that Daniil does as a rusher, I haven't seen anyone, you know, do have the moves that he has and the wiggle that he has just with the rushes, the plethora of moves that he has. It's just, I'm wild every time I watch him rush. And then the impressive clothes that he has as well on the backside to show the speed that he has. And Will, he's just continuing to get better and better of finishing, right, escaping at the top of the rush and finishing on the quarterback. Like, those guys are doing an exceptional job for us up front.
Derek Stingley Jr. was saying that communication is sometimes at the heart of the deep strikes that the other team has had. What did you see in terms of interacting with those guys and also your film analysis of the deep balls?
Yeah, with the deep balls that we've given up, it's it comes down to making a play, right? It's being on the details of where you're supposed to be in coverage, right? And you got to make a play, right? And that's what it comes down to. It's nothing else, no other way to cut it. Like, we're in position, you got to finish and make the play.
That one of the things you wanted to do the most in year two was listen to your coaches more, listen to your assistants. As someone who's been a defensive guy his entire career, you've been a successful D coordinator, still doing a good job on defense. Is there any extra challenges, like when an offense goes through the struggles that they're going through right now, as kind of the overseer of everything, to where maybe you want to oversee it a little bit more than you usually would when you were just focused on defense before?
Well, for me, as I look at our entire team, and being over the entire team, it's emphasis on everybody, it's coaches and players, to just make sure everybody is on the same page of what we're doing, and as players, make sure we're executing what we're asking to get done, right? And if we do that better, that's how our team will improve in all three phases.
I know we've been talking about for the past several weeks, the second half. But what is it that happens where the players are not executing or more locked in the second half? Like, what can you put your finger on?
It's different plays at different times. I think when I look at it offensively, like, we, you know, being there in third down and having two pre-snap penalties to put ourselves in third and long, like, that can't happen, right? And those are things we can control, especially being here at home. Like, we have to control those things, and it goes back to the point of being locked in onto the snap and what we're going on, if we're going on to, whatever it may be. We all have to be on that. Like, that takes no effort, right? And we have to be on those things. And those are things, little things like that, that set us back, like, or being in the right spot on a route, whatever the case may be. It's things like that that we're still hurting ourselves. So is that those things happen in the first half as well, right? There are mistakes that happen all throughout the game, but just the second half for us, we haven't scored enough points. We haven't stopped enough people in the second half from scoring points on us as well. Defensively, second half, like, we have to make sure we play well as well. We've been outscored by a lot of points in the second half, and that got to keep them off the board, and we got to be able to score in the red zone.
So
Speaking of mistakes, CJ seems like he's taking on a lot of responsibility as far as the mistakes are made. How do you tap in as you're, you know, step away from being a head coach and tap back into your player days to teach him how to flush those mistakes out and move on to the next play?
Yeah, it's my job to help all of our guys to make sure, you know, as the head coach, it's my job to make sure we're all locked in. It's not just CJ. Of course, he owns up to his mistakes, but it's not only CJ, it's everyone on the entire team. Like, it's not just him. Everybody has their one play here or there that can end up hurting you. But at the end of the day, mistakes happen in football, right? That's the game we play. Mistakes happen. Teams exploit mistakes sometimes they don't, right? But it's about how you finish the game, and we still had an opportunity there to finish the game, and we did it.
Question about some of the deep passes. What's kind of, how difficult can it be for, like, for example, the touchdown that Eric Berry got beat on to Westbrook? How difficult can that position be for a guy being off at 12 yards, having a guy come vertically at him? Like, what's kind of the balance of you want to play your coverages, but also not put your guys in so much of a difficult position because the guy going vertically at somebody at 12 yards off, that feels like a tough cover. From your perspective, what's kind of that balance of still wanting to run what you want to run, but also playing people's strengths?
Yeah, we're going to run our defense. We just have to play the defense the right way. Like, so our underneath coverage has to be in a better spot so the guy isn't just running free. So underneath coverage has to be better, and our rush has to be better. So everything is tied together. It's not just highlighting one guy. That's not on E. Murray. That's on the entire defense, like, of playing the scheme the proper way.
Got time for a couple more. Jalen be out for some time. What are you missing? What did he bring to this defense this year that you'll miss for however long he's out?
Well, Jalen has brought this. He's been a true impact player for us. This being around the ball, just Eric causing interceptions, forcing fumbles. He's just been really active, very instinctive player for us. He's been all over the field, and he's made a lot of plays for us, and just miss his instincts, his playmaking ability. We're gonna miss that. All right, so we gotta pick it up, and we gotta go. We gotta move forward. We gotta press forward. Whoever else steps in, we gotta hit the ground running.
All right, thank you.
All right, that is the head coach speaking about a variety of things there as he closed it out. If you are late to the party, Jalen Petrie has it partially torn pec. Not sure if this is going to need surgery, but he is going to be out for some time. That's confirmed from the head coach as well, also with reports earlier today. One thing he didn't get into, Clint, not surprising, is, you know, what they're going to do in terms of how they fix the and fill the void of Jalen Petrie, how it goes about. I think we could speculate how that goes, but that it is something that clearly they're not going to be able to use or have someone who could do the same things that Jalen Petrie can do. As he said, he finds his way around the ball. Do you get the sense that this is Eric Murray that just slides into that spot?
No, I think it's Jimmy Ward.
Jimmy?
I think Jimmy Ward slides into that spot like he did yesterday. And then you got Eric Murray and Kalen Bullock at the two safety positions. That's what I would think. And now the problem is again, D'Amico and Nick have to be looking at this thing at what's coming down the pike here. And whether it's you're talking about Baltimore and Kansas City and Miami, for that matter, coming down the pike here, or, you know, you want to talk about giving yourself the best chance to win ball games in the playoffs and or, you know, early next year. I don't know the extent of what's going on right now with Jalen Petrie. I expect him to obviously be back next year. But, like, if you're going to give yourself a real chance to win a playoff game, I don't know that is the way to move forward. I've got to believe that they've got some other wrinkles that they'll throw in there at some point in time. But right now, Jimmy Ward is the fill-in, I would imagine.
All right. Speaking of D'Amico, we just heard from him, and you'll hear from him a little bit later on at the Coaches Show at 5. But he said something yesterday that I know a lot of people on the post-game show had a weird thought about. I know Clint reacted to it. I know Sean Pendergast reacted to it big time. Let's react to it and maybe a day later see if there's an understanding where D'Amico was coming from when he talked about his concern or lack thereof concern with the offense. We'll discuss that as we continue on this Reaction Monday right here live on The Drive.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
The concern for me is we need to play complementary football, right? We play complementary football, we win games. When we don't, we're not relying on one side, right, to carry the entire team. So whatever happens, like our offense gave us enough points to win the game. So that starts with the defense. We didn't do enough to stop them. We didn't stop the run, and we didn't run the ball well. And we gave up way too many points on defense. So our offense did plenty. They gave us enough points. In defense, we have to be able to stop them.
All right, that's D'Amico Ryans. And I know I was riding. I was taking Bear to the to his little stay at home spot while we're going for the holidays. And I'm listening to that, and I couldn't see Sean Clint, but I could tell Sean was touched by those comments. I heard it from you as well. You weren't as touched as Sean was, but I know those were some interesting comments from the head coach there. And I got to be honest, Clint, I really took it from the standpoint that you did, which made me understand and agree with where he was coming from. As you said, I think the big part of it is, as you, man, he's a defensive-minded coach, right? Like, it'll have been the same thing to me. I think Kyle Shanahan would have walked up to the podium and said, if we're playing that Titans defense and my defense scored, they did enough. They scored and got another turnover that led to points. They did enough. I think whatever is your expertise is what you tend to lean towards. And I totally agreed with the thought of that was the defensive-minded guy saying 20 points should have been enough. 20 points against this team, Clint, by the way, who has not cracked 20 since September. This is the first time they've had a game where they've scored more than 20 since September. It's Thanksgiving. So when you think about it from how you put it of, this has got to be an old defensive-minded mindset, then it made sense to me.
Yeah, look, I think that is exactly what it is. You look up at scoreboards, you got 27 points. And as a defensive-minded coach, you say we win that game. I don't care if the defense scored 14 of them. I don't care if they scored 21 of them. At the end of the day, 27 points against that offense that D'Amico Ryans had watched all week long to exhaustion, he's got to believe that's 27 points is enough. He's got to believe and feel extremely disappointed in his defense for allowing that offense with Will Levis and the Titans to go outscore 27 points. And I just think that was the defensive coordinator. He forgot to take the defensive coordinator hat off before he took the podium in a post game as a head coach, and I think that's where it came from. Now, you can look at it, which is exactly how Sean looked at it. Is, I mean, this is the head coach. I mean, you can't forget to put your damn head coach hat on when you go speak, right? So you look at it. I don't know how D'Amico Ryans, in terms of taking all his little notes during the game, talking to the team at halftime and talking to the team in the post game, I don't know how you even get remotely close to patting either unit on the back, if we're being honest with you. And I don't know that he directly patted on the back, but the thought of saying that either one of these units did enough to win that football game, which he really reiterated today in his comments with the media today, and saying we did plenty to win, but we did more to lose, basically. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. Like, this isn't a time for me, Ron, whether it's immediately in the post game or it's after you watch the film and you're speaking to the media today. This isn't a time for me where you need to be recognizing the good that did happen. Like, I mean, you were thought to be a top three team in the AFC at one point in time. Like, we don't go around patting ourselves on the back for not turning the ball over. Like, we don't win, and I know you did. I know they turned it over twice, but I'm saying, like, you don't go, you'll pat yourself on the back.
You're doing things you're supposed to do.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. Like, in order to mention that you had 9 penalties and 83 yards in the second half, you got to tell everybody first how good they did. You got to build them up, because you're scared. You don't want to hurt their feelings. Let's talk about how good we were. But then, man, you know, these things. Like we're just not in a spot, I don't believe, where we need to preface everything with how good we are and how that the bad came with the good kind of thing. So, yeah. I just think last night that audio, he forgot to take his head coach hat off, and it's a bad look when your offense went out there and ran 29 plays and had 54 yards or whatever it was.
Yeah, the offense was bad, and he knows it. But I don't even know if he's taking his head coach hat off like that. He has got to be beside himself that his defense gave up the plays that they gave up. They had 8 sacks, 2 turnovers, including a pick 6 for a score. And they gave up a 70-yard touchdown to a tight end that just kept running and didn't get tackled. They gave up big plays to Ridley. They gave up big plays to 15. I can't remember his hyphenated name. They gave up. Pollard had multiple big plays, including a big run in the second half. They just gave up big plays that led to scores. And like I said, they hadn't cracked 20 since September. And this team, with Will Levis, walked in and beat, which I think he's got to have understood now, just like everybody else has talked about, Clint, this is going to be a defense-first team. We've been feeling Texas. This is a championship defense. This is a Super Bowl-caliber defense. We feel the calls and texts of that. And I think he believes it. And we have Will Anderson back. We had Kamari Lassiter back, and we gave up that. And we couldn't hold Will Levis and them down under 32 points. Like that, he's got to be beside himself. And when you talk about, see, the offense, yes, I understand what you're saying. They got to be better than that. But you expect that the Titans ain't going to score 15 points in a game. They ain't going to score 14 points. And not just they score a point, with ease. With ease. They did it with Will and Lassiter out there. So, I mean, he probably still hadn't slept that one off. He probably still had not slept. I cannot believe we just gave up a passer rating of 123 to Will Levis. That's got to be. We got to win by defense, and we can't stop the Titans. I feel like that was what's coming in his mind, which has got to be just driving him insane.
Will it happen? Believe it.
Oh, he knows. He ain't slept a wink, man. He didn't watch that damn second half repeatedly. I bet he watched that tight end touchdown 30 times yesterday. 30, 40 times yesterday. All right, coming up. Listen, there was some big moments for the Texans. We will, despite I know Clint doesn't want to, but we will do our 5-hour energy play of the game and remember that. And then Tyler, I'm sorry, but we got to go here. What in the hell happened in the SEC on Saturday? But Tyler, but as much as this has been tough, there's a bright side. There is a bright side because of what happened in Norman and what happened in Gainesville and what happened everywhere. There's a bright side for you. We'll discuss what the hell happened in the SEC.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
See you coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Third and 11 at the Houston 40. Levis shotgun, Pollard in the backfield with him. Levis gets the snap, fires underneath. It's intercepted. Jimmy Ward, right side, 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, pick, 6. The Texans are ready to take the lead. Just like that, Jimmy Ward to the house.
Well, that's one way of stopping a field goal attempt.
All right, that was a huge play there. Jimmy Ward, pick 6. To give the Texans the lead, and it really, really felt like they were going to take control of the game right there, but that did not occur as Will Levis was able to help lead the Titans back to that lead. But that was a huge moment there. That is why that was your 5-Hour Energy High Energy Play of the Game. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. So, that was a big play there. If you are just sliding in and you're unaware, the Texans are going to be without their safety, and as D'Amico described it, impact players, Jalen Petrie. He has a partially torn pec. They have not determined if they are going to do any kind of a surgery that will. That will be made, a decision will be made later on. We will obviously keep you updated on that. But D'Amico said, as reports said, that he will miss a couple of weeks. So that is kind of the big news coming off of yesterday's game, is Jalen Petrie is going to be out for some time. All right, Clint and Tyler, let's get to things. And college football, again, was wild. Like, I don't know how many times we've had, hey, upset Saturday, because it's been a ton of them this week, and in particular, the SEC just went crazy, and it is the Big Ten that's going to be the beneficiary. I watched an Indiana team, Clint, that look, man, they've had a great season. And they deserve to go to a Citrus Bowl or something, but they're not a playoff team. And it is clear to me, if they played a tougher schedule in the Big Ten, if they played a Big 12 schedule, if they played an SEC the right any SEC schedule, they wouldn't be sitting here at 11-1. And I know this is probably pissing Adam Spillane off, but you could clearly see that they weren't in that league. But they're going to benefit from it. Just like Penn State, who barely beat Minnesota 26-25, they're going to benefit from it because, Clint, it went crazy in the SEC. Alabama was supposed to be a big favorite on the road in Norman against Oklahoma. They got mollywopped. Ole Miss went in and just continued to screw things up in Gainesville. And when they lost their top receiver, they really, really struggled. And then, obviously, A&M had a heartbreaking loss. I don't know how number 5 didn't catch that ball. I don't know how they were in that situation to begin with, but they also lose. So all three of those teams, Clint, have 3 losses. And, I mean, anybody is on the verge of having 3 losses, Clint. I think Tennessee's probably the only team that's in a really, really good spot because they're not going to play in the SEC championship game. I guess Texas is in a pretty good spot, too. I think if they lost, I still think a 2-loss Texas team would get in if they lost to A&M. But it was insane what happened this weekend in the SEC in particular.
Boy, where am I going to start on this, T? I completely disagree, by the way, Ron, on your Indiana take.
Uh-oh.
Oh, absolutely. Now I agree with your point that
you
that,
watched them and thought that that's a team that should that should be in the top 20.
That's not the deal here. I've watched them all year long, and what they've done, I think they have earned the right to be in the top 12. Here's the problem with Indiana's. I agree with all your points. I agree with the way they looked. To be honest with you, Ron, but the reality of it is. You can't take Indiana, who's got one loss, and go, they don't deserve to be in, but then look at Boise State's schedule and what they've done and say, well, they do deserve to be in. Look at SMU's schedule, and this is my boy Rhett now. Look at SMU's schedule and what who they've beaten and how that season's gone and what the ACC looks like and say that they should be in. So while I agree with all of your points, and hell, the your end game may be very true. They may have no business being in. As they lay out those 12 games, it's not just going to be Indiana, Ron. There's going to be three or four teams that you look up, and the strength of schedule is going to be a major issue that's where we want to stick.
Oh, they're going to get in. I'm just saying that, like, this was the only game they played anybody that was remotely. I mean, their toughest game, their other two tough games were Nebraska and Michigan.
Yeah,
like that. This is the only game where they remotely played, and it was closer than it should have been. And Ohio State should have blown the doors off of them more. They got stopped at the one. They fumbled or they threw an interception in the red zone. Like this thing could have eased. It was 31-7 really, really late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
This thing could have even gotten out of hand. But you're right. But to me, at least Boise and SMU ain't lost yet. I mean, these guys, they played their one game against a good opponent. And
Boise lost to Oregon, SMU lost to BYU.
Boise lost to Oregon.
But it was close. Oregon, it was tight.
I was going to say it was close. It was a very tight game. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, they showed better than Indiana did. But, you know, they didn't lose in their conference. I don't know.
Well, to your point, though, Ron, is, and I love this conversation because what it's going to come down to is we're literally cussing and discussing the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th ranked team in America, not the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. So I love the improvement that's been made. But what you end up looking at is you end up looking at a South Carolina team that's 8-3 right now that's coming on strong and has played and had some good wins of late. And there's obviously a much better team than they were earlier in the year, sitting at, I think, 16. In the AP poll, they were 16 last week. They're going to be close if they can keep winning, right? If they beat Clemson, especially next week, what do you do with South Carolina if they beat Clemson in that matchup right there, right? So you've got some. I'm telling you, man, those teams, A&M, if A&M beats Texas, I mean, right now they're sitting at, I don't know what they were. What were y'all, Tyler, in the
it was 15.
Were you as high as 15 in the last?
That is correct.
Okay. So, yeah, you beat Texas, you're in, right? I mean, I don't know. You just got to go win the SEC
they got to win the SEC championship. But they control their own destiny.
Yeah, they control their own. But the point is just there's those 8-3 teams are going to come into play against some of the weaker, you know, 10-1 or 10-2 or 9-2 football teams, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, to get to your point about the SEC, we talked about upset. I'll be honest with y'all. I had Oklahoma and Alabama on my upset alert, but I took it off because I didn't think there was any way it was going to happen. I didn't want to put it on the table about Oklahoma beating Alabama.
And didn't see either.
And boy, did they ever! That was probably the most convincing one, right? But the 12-team playoff is not any sexier in any conference than in the SEC right now when you've got all these teams that were right on the bubble with two losses that got upset, man. And it was a hell of a weekend. Tyler, I hate that your Aggies took the brunt of it. I cannot believe that football team, really, I can believe they lost after watching. I can't believe they dug the hole, the 21-0 hole that they dug. They were real quick. That's the fear with A&M, though, Ron, is that you don't, like, with your issues, and I don't want to say issues because I'm a fan of the Reed kid at quarterback. I think he's got a real chance. But right now, this particular A&M team, where they're at, can't afford to fall they can't afford to get behind early 14 points. And play chase from behind. They damn near did it against a bad Auburn team. You just flat-ass can't do it against a better opponent. So that's the scary part. But if they can keep it close and not make mistakes and not give up big explosive plays, they're going to be hell to deal with for Texas in Kyle Field. That's for sure.
But this is the crazy thing, Tyler. When you look at A&M, and A&M fans have to ask themselves how realistic it is. You control your own destiny.
Yep. Still,
you just got to be. Yeah. You would be the team. Like there's the I think the only team, Clint, that has three losses that can still get in. But can you beat Texas at home and Georgia, in consecutive weeks? Can they be that consistent to put that together? Because if they can do that, there's a chance. If they can do that, Clint, hell, they can win it all. They should be the favorite if they could pull that off.
Well, look, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, the thing is you beat Texas next week, and regardless of what happened, Elko will be sitting high and mighty in terms of where he's got A&M sitting right now. There's some disappointing losses, obviously, but what a hell of a year they've had if they can go out there and beat Texas. But we'll see. I think it's a much tighter ball game leading up to it than many expected. I know it is for me. And this is going. It's going to be a hell of a watch, man. See, I'm stoked.
I'll be honest with you. I'm glad the stuff happened in around the SEC to make sure this game still matters the way that it was going into it. Because you're sitting there thinking, damn, that game is just going to be about spoiling it for Texas, really. But now everything is still on the table because Jalen Milroe went out there and showed you why you can't draft him early. And then I feel bad for saying that, but that's just exactly why. You just can't put an organization in his hands for what he did. All right, what you got coming up at the 4?
It's easy, man. I'm calling an audible here. After hearing D'Amico Ryans speak a little earlier here on The Drive here on Sports Radio 610 Live, I've got to react to a couple of things, Ron. I've been steaming, chomping at the bit since we played that, since we heard that audio. So I got a couple of things we got to address. Got to let the people hear it, and then we've got to address, and we'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.